Good morning, Summit Community Church. It truly is an honor to be here with you today and to share something from the Word of God with you today. And Faye, I could have just listened to you keep going. I could have. I feel like if after what you shared, if we just gave an altar call and let everybody come, we would have had church. You know, I feel like what a very weighty time when you were sharing. And what a very tender and anointed time. Amen. So, you know, I would have been content with that. But I do know the Lord has a word. So we're going to share something from the Word of God. I want to talk to you about when the brook dries up. When the brook dries up. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go hence, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Again, I just want to talk to you about when the brook dries up. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to take a moment to just acknowledge my need for your help and my dependence upon you, God. Lord, dependency upon God. Lord, this journey that you've brought me on, these 25 years, I've learned dependency upon God as a precious treasure that we never want to lose. And it takes a walk with God to cultivate a deep dependence in God. And Lord, I thank you for the journey. I thank you for this ever-deepening dependence upon God. I thank you for that journey, Lord. And I pray that your word would bless your people today, God, that it would find its mark in hearts and people would be blessed, strengthened, encouraged, faith built by the word of God. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing in our heart, everything you're doing here. We thank you, God, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we just read, we find in 1 Kings chapter 17 that the prophet Elijah is facing the king of Israel, King Ahab. He's confronting the king of Israel, King Ahab. And I like to call this the prophet and the politician. That's what I like to call it. You see, the king of Israel married a woman named Jezebel, who was the daughter of a pagan king. And the reason why he married her isn't because he loved her, but because he thought somehow it would benefit his kingdom. He married this woman named Jezebel for political reasons. Their marriage is a political alliance. And so when he marries this woman named Jezebel, again, not based on love, but based on politics, when he marries this wicked woman, he marries a woman who didn't share the values of God's people, but he was willing to compromise the values of God's people because his political values overshadowed his spiritual values. And with Jezebel as queen, together they enforce and they put some very wicked policies into place in the kingdom, policies that took the kingdom into a depravity and a darkness that they've never known before. You know, throughout Israel's history, they have known some very dark times in their history, but there's never been a darker time in the history of Israel than this time. Yet God's not going to leave his people prey to wicked politicians with evil agendas. He's not going to do that. The children of Israel were birthed and formed for his glory and for his honor. And so God has a plan of bringing true revival to his people. And to put that plan in motion, he sends the prophet Elijah to King Ahab to confront Ahab. And what I really love about this prophet is Elijah. There's no introduction to Elijah. There's no kind of build-up. There's no kind of anything to introduce him, build him up. No, he just shows up on the scene. He declares a proclamation to the king of Israel. At my word, the heavens are going to be shut up for 3 years, and only at my word will the heavens be open. And as quickly as he appears, Elijah is gone. And I love that about this prophet. And then God instructs Elijah to hide by the brook, because when the famine becomes so severe, Jezebel, in her fury, is going to become very wrathful, and she's going to seek to kill Elijah. So God tells him to hide by the brook, and at this brook, God was going to provide for him. And at this brook, God does something very interesting when you really look at it. What he does is he sends ravens to feed Elijah. And the question that comes to my mind is, why would God use ravens? See, if you know anything about ravens, they are scavengers. Ravens come from the line of crow and buzzards. So why would God use ravens? Because he says very clearly in the Levitical law that his people are to have nothing to do with unclean birds. They're not to have anything to do with ravens. They're not to have anything to do with buzzards and crows. And so, you know, why would God use ravens? And the answer that I came up with is because he's God and he can use whatever he wants to use. See, what you see in this story is God actually turned scavenger birds into ministry birds. That's what they're doing. These birds are doing ministry. They're going out and feeding Elijah, and they're taking care of Elijah, and they're doing ministry. And sometimes God will use an angel to give you bread at the juniper tree, and sometimes God will choose to send scavenger birds like ravens to feed you at the brook. And my point is simply this: God can touch anyone from anywhere with any background to be used for his God, glory, because he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. That's the power. To me, in these birds, you actually find the power of the gospel. Scavenger birds and the ministry birds. We were all scavengers. Amen. So we see at the brook, Elijah's well provided for. He has food, he has water, he has protection. I'm sure there's a song that's in his heart, Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. You know, he has that testimony, he has that song. But then comes the day, the Bible says the brook dried up. And that is the one verse that has really captured my heart reading this story again throughout this week. That is the one statement, the brook dried up. And the question the Lord keeps putting on my heart is simply this: will you continue to trust God when your brook dries up? Will you continue to trust God when your brook dries up? Beloved, we're all going to go through seasons where we feel like something in our life is drying up. Something in our life is drying up. And with this drying up, there can come times of confusion. There can come times of question. There can come times of trying to figure out what God is doing. But the bottom line simply comes: when something's drying up in your life, will you continue to trust the Lord? Amen. Now, before we talk about some of these brooks, I want to mention two things. First of all, stay by your brook until God gives you clear instructions where to go and what to do. You just need to stay by your brook. You know, what I mean is that it's so easy to live by the brook when the brook is full of life and blessings, but when the brook dries up, when your finances dry up, when relationships dry up, when your health dries up, when your strength dries up, when affiliations dries up, when favor and goodwill dries up, when benevolence and generosity dries up, I'm telling you, it can be painful living by the brook when these things dry up, when your health dries up, when your strength dries up, when friendships dry up. It can be a very painful thing to stay by the brook. But we have to know that when the brook dries up, we need to just trust God and wait upon the word of God. Often when brooks dries up, it's because God has a fresh word and you have to wait upon that word. You know, going back to our example, verse 7 says the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then verse 8 says, most interpretations says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You know, when did the word of the Lord come to Elijah? When the brook dried up. A lot of us are waiting for a word from God, and God is waiting for our brook to dry up. A lot of us are praying and saying, God, I need a fresh word from the Lord. And the Lord says, I need your brook to dry up first, and then I will come with that fresh word from the Lord. So I just want to encourage us, you know, often when brooks dries up, it's because God has a fresh word, and we need to wait upon the word of God by our dried up brook. And secondly, just because the brook dries up, that's not proof that you miss God. You know, sometimes when a brook dries up, we can become disillusioned and start asking questions. You know, God, what's going on? What's happening? God, you put a word in my heart, and this totally looks so different than what you told me. Did I really truly hear from God? But beloved, when brooks dries up, that's not a time to become disillusioned. That's a time to know that God is up to something. You see, the Bible tells us over and over again, it reminds us over and over again, it's so full of examples, that when God takes you down to nothing, that's what the brook is. So when God takes you down to nothing, it's because he's up to something. Amen. You know, if you truly love the Lord and your heart is to serve the Lord, there will never be a time where God is not up to something in your life. Listen, he wants to use you more than you can desire to be used. He wants to use you more than you can desire to be used. So if you have a heart for the Lord, God is always up to something, even when your brook dries up. Amen. So let's talk about some of these dried up brooks. Number one, the brook of provision. I just want to take it right from the story. You know, this is the brook of provision. You know, this brook here represents God's provision for Elijah's life. It was at the brook where God provided him water and meat. So here's the question. Are we willing to trust God when his provision seems to be drying up in our life? Are we willing to trust God when his provision seems to be drying up in our life? You know, I had to ask the Lord the question, you know, what is the purpose of Elijah's dried up brook? He could have rode the famine out. He could have stayed by the brook. What was God's purpose in drying up the brook? And here's the answer. Here, I believe, is one of the biggest answers. There's so many things we could talk about, but I believe this is the biggest one. God was teaching Elijah not to trust in the provision, but to trust in the provider. That's what he was teaching him. I don't want you trusting in the provision. I want you trusting in the provider. He was teaching Elijah, Elijah, your trust is not in the brook, but in the one who made the brook. Your hope is not in the brook, but in the one who made the brook. Listen, the brook drying up in our day can represent that check that comes in once a month in your mailbox. That's what the brook can represent. You know, some of us here, we really depend upon that government check to show up in the mailbox once a month. For whatever reason, we qualify for some kind of government check. And I'm saying at the end of the month, we are right there at the mailbox to pick up that government check. But let me ask you a question. What happens when that government check quits coming? What happens when the law of the lands change and they no longer qualify you for this check? So it doesn't matter how many times you go out to the mailbox, you don't have a check anymore. So the question is your trust in the check or is your trust in God? You know, that's what it equates to. When my government check doesn't show up in the mailbox anymore, well, who's my trust in? Is it in God, or is it the God who provides the provision? Amen. Are you with me? Going back to Elijah, could it be that God saw Elijah had his eyes more on the brook than on God? See, Elijah's in training. Could it be that God saw Elijah had his eyes more on the birds than on God? Listen, it's a subtle transition we can all make, putting our trust more into provision than to provider. When God's provision comes in again and again and again, very subtly we can begin looking to the provision more than to the provider. So the question is, are we willing to trust God when his provision seems to be drying up in our life? Number two, what is another brook that can seem like it's drying up at times? Number two, the brook of promise. And I'm not talking about personal promises. I'm actually talking about the covenant promises of God. When his covenant promises in your life seem to be drying up, where is our trust? Look with me at verse 3, chapter 17, verse 3. The Lord says, get hence and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. So what I want you to know about Cherith, the word actually means to cut. And it specifically means to cut covenant. So it's a word of covenant. Okay, this brook, now everybody stay with me. This brook actually represents the covenant promises of God. And the Lord is saying, are you willing to trust God when it seems like the covenant promises of God are drying up in your life? For example, God, you promised me joy. Why does it seem like my joy is drying up? God, you promised me strength. Why does it seem like my strength is diminishing? God, you promised me abundant life. So why does it feel like I'm in a wilderness of death? God, you promised me freedom. So why am I captivated by all these things? Why does it seem like your covenant promises are drying up in my life? Is it because God wants to remind us? You actually need to take your eyes off of the promises and put them back on the promise keeper. You're looking for joy. I am your joy. You're looking for strength. I am your strength. You're looking for abundant life. I am your life. When your brook of promise is dried up, you need to take your eyes off of the promise and one more time put them back on the promise keeper. Look to the promise keeper. Amen. You know, what I really feel like the Lord is saying is, so many times when you go to my word looking for promises, you should actually be looking for me. When you go to my word looking for promises, you should actually be looking for me. You know, Martha is a great example. Her brother Lazarus is dead. Standing at the tomb, Jesus says to her, your brothers will rise again. And how does Mary reply? How does she reply? She replies by showing him that she has been a very good Bible student. She replies by showing him that she has been enrolled in Jesus' school of discipleship and is a great pupil. She replies by showing him she knows her theology. She replies, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, she's saying, Jesus, I know the doctrine. Jesus, I know the theology. Jesus, I even know the promise. I know the promises of your word. I've heard them. I've studied them. I've listened to you expound on them. I've even applied the promises of God to my life. I know the promises of God. And then Jesus responds, I am the resurrection. And whoever believes in me shall never die. You know what he's saying? It's not a doctrine that gives you life. It's not a theology that gives you life. It's not even promises that give you life. I give you life. Jesus doesn't say, I can't give you life. He is saying, I am life. When you look at this passage closely, you have to admire Martha's faith. She says, I know he will rise again at the last day. Listen, her brother's death did not shatter her faith. Even though it was a devastating blow, her brother's death did not devastate her faith. But when Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life, it's as if he is saying, I know you have faith in a promise, and that is good, but now put your faith in me. I know you have faith in a promise, but now turn your faith to the promise giver. Beloved, yes, Jesus gives us precious promises. But do you know what Jesus is telling Martha? Now, I want you to capture this. Yes, Jesus gives us precious promises, but do you know what Jesus is telling Martha? Promises are not something I do. It's who I am. Promises is not something I perform. It's who I am. You're waiting on a promise, and I'm here to tell you, I am the resurrection. Promises is not something I perform. It's something that I am. That is the revelation this is meant to teach you, Martha, but not just to teach you, but all of my people. And here's what I want us to consider. Jesus considered Martha understanding this to be so important that he allowed her brother to die so he could reveal it to her. So the question is, what is your Lazarus? Is it your health? What is your Lazarus? What is God allowing to dry up and die in your life? Do you need joy? Do you need strength? Do you need freedom? Do you need life? Jesus is teaching you, I don't give joy, I am joy. I don't give freedom, I am freedom. I don't give life, I am life. Promises isn't something that I do, it's something that I am. So here's the bottom line. God allows promises to dry up because somehow through it, he wants to make his promises and himself a little more one. He allows covenant promises to dry up in our lives sometimes because just a little more, he wants to make his promises and himself a little more unified in our life. When I'm looking at his promise just a little bit more, I'm not so much looking at the promise, but I'm seeing Jesus. My faith isn't so much in a promise, but just a little bit more, my faith is in Christ who is the promise. My focus isn't so much on a promise, but my focus is a little more upon Christ. The promises of God are in Christ. Beloved, go into God's word and look for some of the promises. Look for the promise of joy, but yet in the promise, hear Jesus say, I am your joy. Go into his word and look for the promise of freedom, but in his word, set your ear to the word of God and let him speak to you, I am your freedom. The life is in me. I really believe that with all my heart. God has sometimes allowed covenant promises to dry up because, you know, just a little more, I want you to see me in the promise because I am the promise. Amen. I feel like I'm putting it so clumsily. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. My whole point is sometimes Jesus says you go into the word to find promises when you should be going in the word to find me. I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, life isn't in the doctrine. Life isn't in the theology. Life isn't even in a promise. Life is in me. And when you go into the word, it's me you're looking for. You got to find me. Amen. And number three, this would be my last, and I tried to set my time. For some reason, it didn't go off, so I don't know where I'm at on time. So I'll give you my last one, okay? What are some of these brooks that can dry up? Well, number three, the brook of ministry. As a minister, there can be times when it seems like your ministry's drying up. In other words, your opportunity to minister has suddenly dried up. You know, you had so many opportunities and invitations to minister, and suddenly the invitations aren't coming anymore. Suddenly people aren't calling you to come speak. Suddenly people aren't calling you to come lead worship. Seems like your ministry opportunities have all dried up. Nobody's calling you. And when that happens, you can start asking questions in your heart. What did I say that was wrong? What did I do that was so wrong? Seems like people have lost their confidence in me. I must have said something wrong. I must have done something wrong. I mean, listen, and it can really get hard when you see so many other ministers getting so many invitations, they can't take them all. And you're back here stuck on a shelf, just waiting for the phone to ring. Nobody's calling, nobody's emailing, nobody's inviting. And it can be a very painful place to be because you just have to say, did I lose the touch of God on my life? Did I lose my anointing? You know? But the question is, when it seems as if my brook of ministry has dried up, will I still continue to trust the Lord that he's up to something? You know, when the brook of ministry is dried up, what is God up to? Well, there's a variety of answers that we can give. But here's my favorite one. When the brook of ministry is dried up, God is just taking us deeper into the true spirit of servanthood. He's just taking us deeper into the true spirit of servanthood. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a cloud out of the sea, a little cloud like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get you down that the rain does not stop you. So in this story, we see that Elijah has a servant. We just read that. He has to send the servant up the mountain seven times. So he has a servant. And here's what I like. I took a lot of time studying this servant. I felt like the Lord would have me study the servant. And when you really study Elijah's servant in this story, you just fall in love with this servant. There are just so many things that this servant has to teach us. But I'm not going to talk about all of them. I just want to talk to you about one thing this servant has to teach us, all right? I want you to look with me at verse 43. So Ahab went, verse 43, and said to his servant, Elijah said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And the servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And Elijah said to the servant, go again seven times. I want to ask you a question. Very simple question. What is the servant's name? He doesn't have a name. He's not given a name. Can I tell you something? That is precisely my point. That's my point. Here's the question I want to ask. Are we willing to serve in the hidden places when nobody knows our name? Are we willing to serve in the hidden places when nobody is asking our name? Is our name really that important when you're a servant? Amen. Listen. When your brook of ministry dries up, can you continue to serve in those hidden places where no one knows your name and no one is asking your name? Amen. Let's say a seminar comes up or a conference comes up. In a seminar and a conference, you're going to need sandwiches made. You're going to need coffee brewed. You're going to need restrooms cleaned. Can I just tell you something? At that seminar, when somebody bites into that sandwich, you know what they're not going to say? They're not going to say, that sandwich was so good, I need to know who made that sandwich. Who made that sandwich? Nobody going to do that, right? When somebody walks into a restroom that is really clean, let me tell you what they're not going to say. They're not going to say, this restroom is so clean. Who cleaned this restroom? I need to know who cleaned the restroom. They're not going to say that, are they? And my whole point is this. Can we continue to serve when nobody's asking our name? When nobody wants to know our name? I really believe when the Lord causes a brook to ministry to dry up, it's because he's really wanting to take us into a deeper place of what true spirit of servanthood is. It's not important that they know your name. What's important is that my name is being lifted up. You know, I'm reminded about something Paul said regarding his thorn in the flesh. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Do you know what lest I should be exalted above measure means? It means lest I be consumed by how many people are listening to my sermons online. Lest I be consumed by the need to find out if I was one of the most popular speakers at the conference. Lest I be consumed by the need to hear my name mentioned. Amen. In today's terms, that's what it means, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, amen. Can I just share something with you? And I'm almost done. Can I share something with you? When I first started preaching, you know what I used to do? When I first started preaching, I would sneak into the church because my pastor gave me the key to the church. And I would go into the sound booth and I would find out which preacher was selling the most cassettes. I would. I laugh about it now. I am kind of embarrassed about it. But I just had to know my sermons were the most popular. I would actually go into the sound booth, pick up the chart, and actually count how many sermon requests each preacher had. And when I had the most sermon requests, it made me feel the most popular. It made me feel the most anointed. I laugh about it now. Because back then, I had no idea how God had to crush me and get that out of my heart. I laugh about it now because I know the journey that God had to just crush me and get that out of my heart. Amen. You know, are we willing to serve in the hidden places where nobody's asking your name? And let me end it on a good note. Look with me at verse 44. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. It says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. So he says, I see a cloud coming in answer to these fervent prayers, like a man's hand. Now, this hand can represent a few things, but for this teaching today, this lesson today, it represents simply the hand of God. That's what it represents, the hand of God. And here's my point. The people experienced the blessing of the rain, but the servant got to see the hand of God. The people experienced the blessing of the rain, but the servant got to see the miracle-working hand behind the rain. He got to see the hand of God. And here's my point. In those seasons where God strips you down to nothing, it can be very painful, but the rewards are worth it. When he strips you down to nothing, it can be very painful, but the rewards are worth it. Amen? Stand with me this morning. I do want to give an altar call. The altar call is simply this. You know, I talked about what this brook can mean, three things. It can be the brook of provision, the brook of covenant promises, where the Lord wants to speak, you know, look at me, put your focus on me. Talked about the brook of ministry. But only you know the things in your life that seem to be drying up. Only you know the things in your life that seem to be drying up. And I believe there are people here that you've had questions. You know, did I miss God? Did I not hear from God? God, why are you allowing this? But the Lord wants to ask you just a very simple question today. When your brook dries up, will you continue to trust me? You may not have all the answers now, may not give you all the answers now, but will you continue to trust me? So the altar call is just very simple. Yes, I see something in my life that seems to be drying up. I don't have the answers, but I know God is the answer. And I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord, and I'm just going to keep trusting God. Amen? So if that's you, why don't you come, and let's just give it to the Lord and say, God, I trust you even when my brook dries up. Amen. So if that's you, why don't you come and pray? You that come to the altar, I don't know what your brook is. I don't have any answers for you. But I do have the one question the Lord has put in my heart, and that question is simply this. Whatever that brook is, when you feel like your brook is drying up, will you continue to trust the Lord? Amen. I'm telling you, if you love the Lord and really have a heart to serve the Lord, God is up to something. Even when he completely brings you down to nothing, it's because God is up to something. And when your brook dries up, this is what I feel from the Lord to tell you, when your brook dries up, that is not the time to get disillusioned. That's not the time to ask, did I miss God? Did I not hear from God? God, where is God? That's not the time to get disillusioned with those questions. It's just time to trust God, right? He knows what he's up to in your life. There's never be a moment where he's not up to something in your life. There will never be a moment. And even when he brings you down to nothing, you have to trust God is up to something. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know what your brook is. I don't have answers for you as far as this is what God is doing. But I can tell you this. God is doing something. And we just got to trust him. Amen. We just got to trust him. You know, when your brook dries up, a lot of time, like Elijah, it's because you feel in your heart God has called you to set yourself apart. Elijah at this time was set apart. What was he set apart to? He was set apart to prayer. Elijah knew in his heart he was God's instrument of revival. Let me tell you, the pressure that man must have felt, it drove him into a lot of prayer at that brook. And my point is simply this. Listen, when God brings you apart to a place of prayer, it's because something is on the horizon. I can't tell you what God has on your horizon, but I can tell you this. Because it's God, it's big. That's why he has you there. You are going to be an instrument in this big thing God wants to do. And that might be the reason why your brook is drying up. When God does big things through your life, are you going to suddenly be consumed by the need to have your name somehow lifted up? No. It's not important people know my name. It's only one name that needs to be exalted. And that's Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these precious people that made this altar call and the precious people that made it in their hearts. And God, I thank you for the faith in their heart that, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what you're up to. It is painful to be by a brook that dries up. Strength dries up. Finances dries up. Health dries up. Friendships dry up. Affiliations dry up. It can be a painful place, but yet, God, I trust you. I want to wait on you, God. I know you got a fresh word, even a fresh direction, God. And I'm going to wait on you, Lord. God, our faith is in you, God. Our faith is in you and your unfailing faithfulness. Lord, we love you. We give you glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.